Our speaker tonight is no stranger to any of you. He's definitely not to me. I've known him about 83 years. And I have had the privilege of introducing him several times throughout my life, because we traveled a lot together for several years. And so as I present him to you tonight, I might say, here's my brother, because he's both. I give you my brother, Hugh Yates.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for that song, honey. You know, I wear ears. But though the Lord's voice is soft and gentle, you wouldn't have to wear ears to hear it. I guess it's going to be a sort of a direction that comes from Jim's sermon this morning, where he talked about the love of Christ. And in a way, I guess I'm going to be doing similar to the same thing, but I'm going to take it a little different way. But I'm going to start in Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. He says here, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Is there any comment there? That's really not what it says, is it? It says, seek ye first. And we were born to seek the Lord first and to follow after him and recognize him, the need that we have, that he's our guide to direct us, to talk to us, to protect us. And he does. He protects us a lot of times from the power of the evil one that wants to destroy our soul. And sometimes we don't even recognize it. Somebody might say, oh, you know, that's sort of a, you know, that, boy, it really worked out good, didn't it? You know, it come real fine And everything is real good. And you know, those of us who know the Lord, we know it's a blessing. We know that he has blessed us with that. That's what that amounts to. And, you know, I thought as the young people were singing, I thought that, Lord, continue to work on me. How important it is that he works on us to encourage us and to strengthen us, to give us the desire to know him, to give us the desire to lend an ear, to hear his voice, to hear him call, and to hear him direct, because he does. Because like Jim preached this morning, he loves us. And you know, that love is impossible, like the scripture says, when he read there about the little children being blessed, that they couldn't even write his prayer. It was so magnificent. Well, I don't know of a language in this world that can express the love of God to his children. It's so mighty, so powerful, so direct. And you know, because of his love, he tells us, I'm going to read long as we're there, and I'm going to go to the 7th chapter here, and I'm going to read the 13th and the 14th. And it's not a new scripture. It's one that you hear all the time. But you know, that's the way that we go, because he doesn't change. And his teachings and desires for us is ever the same. And he desires that we would yield, like we heard the youngsters sing, that we would yield to him. And that's his desire, that we would be able to go and live with him and his Father. That we would be able to enjoy that time when there's no tears, no heartache, no strife, but peace and love and happiness. That's what goes with the Lord. That's what goes with the Lord. Those of us that are married, we found out long time ago that if the Lord is the Lord of your house, there's love there. There's a power there that helps, that you have the joy and the peace of the presence of the Lord. Now that doesn't mean as we go through life, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have problems, and that doesn't mean that things aren't going to take place and one thing and another, but it does mean that we know that we have the right to approach the Lord and visit with him and seek his direction and to seek his peace and his understanding. And you know, it's like he said, you know, you don't have to be afraid. That the Spirit of the Lord isn't a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of love and of a sound mind. That's the Spirit of the Lord, is a spirit of love and a sound mind. And he's always willing and ready to guide and to direct, to lend a hand, that he might help you over the problems and the strifes and the needs that you have as you live here in this life before he calls you home. That's what it's about. And I want to read here now in the 7th chapter of Matthew's, and I'm going to read the 13th and the 14th verses. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." Haven't we found that in our lives? Haven't we found that he loved us to the point that he has given us the word called repentance? Where we could approach his holy throne with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and visit with him. And ask for the help that we need to overcome and to endure the end. To ask for that direction and that strength and how important it is. And he goes on here, he says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Do you want to be a few? Do we have our eyes? Have we taken the scales from our eyes that we can see and recognize that straight and narrow path? Where we could recognize his footprints to direct us, to lead us, and that we would know the truth. Because it says that the truth is what makes us free. And that means free of sin. Because we have come to the knowledge and the understanding of the teachings of Christ, the gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. That gospel of the kingdom isn't a watered down gospel or an added to gospel that gives us the vision of eternal life and gives us the vision to walk the straight and narrow path. Because the gospel is the way that was taught directly by the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, to teach us the way to eternal life. And you know, it's important that we realize, and it's important that we know that we have to repent. We have to do those things. I'm going to read now in Mark, the first chapter of Mark, and the 14th and the 15th verses there, and how direct that is. He says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." He wanted them to know the way. He wanted them to understand. He didn't want you just floating around and didn't know what's going on. Or, well, what did Jesus say about it? Do I really have to be baptized? Or, you know, what's going on here? You know, that he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God because he loved them. And he came to do that and to give his life for them and for you and I. That's what he came for. And saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." And you know, I guess that's what I'm trying to teach tonight. Is repent ye. And believe the gospel. That's the way to eternal life. And you know, there's no other shot. There's no other pill. There's no other way to stop and to heal the soul from sin other than Jesus Christ our Lord. There isn't another way to heal that sickness of sin other than through Jesus Christ. No. And so it's important that we know him and know his teachings and know what's required of us. That's why that he went out himself and he preached the gospel of the kingdom so the people would know, so that they would know what was required of them. So that they would know how to reach other people and how they should affect them. And they, you know, if you're over stealing somebody's bicycles and causing a lot of problems and everything, I don't think you're carrying a light that will glorify our Father which is in heaven. If we want to glorify our Father which is in heaven, it's through the gospel of the kingdom that the Son of God taught. There's no other way, nor name given under heaven whereby we might be saved. It's the only cure for sin. There isn't another. The world through the times and today tries all other kinds of things for the cure for sin, and it's never been able to find it because there's only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that it has to be applied to our life. And it means that you and I have to seek, not fifth, but first, that gospel of Christ. Because that has to do with the welfare of our soul. Not the body, but the welfare of the soul. That it can be saved, that it has the right to go and live with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That welfare, that's how important it is. And you know, it's something that we have to understand. And I guess we better ask ourselves, you know, I'm going to give you a little definition of gospel. The gospel is called good news. That's what it is. It's good news for the welfare of your soul. It's the vitamin pill that gives you a desire to study and to seek and to pray and to apply those things to your life. That gives you the strength to resist Satan and challenging. The scripture says if we do so, that we can walk in a way that Satan will flee before you. He doesn't change. You and I have that ability that he would know. It's important that we understand that in his love and compassion for his creation, he caused that gospel of the kingdom to be preached and tells us it's going to be preached in all the world. What for? To save them. To save us. So that we would know what we're to do and how we're to walk. What we're to say. What is our conversation? Are we sure that what we're doing is according to his holy word? You know, you can't hide from the Lord. He knows when you're violating the law, and he knows that if you know that you're violating it and don't care. He knows that. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. That's why he tells you to those who have received the gospel that they have to live closer to that gospel than if you've never heard it. How important it is. As I look before you tonight and I look at a group of people that without a shadow of a doubt, we've been blessed. We've been blessed by the Lord because we have come to the knowledge of the gospel of the kingdom. He has taught it. He has instructed us. You know, he has directed us so that we would know. And how important that is. And we can't hide from him. We could go in the deepest cave or wherever we want to. You can't hide. He knows what we're doing. I remember one time there in the Grand Junction, Colorado reunion that there was a brother got up and he was from the South someplace. And I don't remember just exactly what state. But he was a great big old two-fisted farmer and he was going at it. And he said these fields were burning. And he was losing his crop. And he says, you know, he says, I went out between the chicken house and the barn. And I prayed that God would stop that because I needed that. And he stopped it. Wherever we're at, the Lord knows us. He knows our desires, he knows our strength, and he knows our weaknesses. And so it's important that we realize that as he goes forth and he was teaching that gospel. Number one, the gospel. The teachings of the Christian church as originally preached by Jesus Christ and the apostles, as he originally preached. Not all the things that's been changed and altered and taken away. You know, I remember our late Brother Housenick when he told us, you know, that they're going to change the Bibles, they're going to change things and everything, and they're going to try to take away, like the authorized King James, they're going to try to take things away so that you can't. They've got so many different ones, and you know, I talked to Adam Porter today, and we were talking about a brother that Jim and I worked with up in Quebec. And, you know, and we were teaching there, and they brought out their Bibles, and we put up the scriptures, and boy, there's a whole bunch of them there, you know, saying, well, my Bible don't say that. And somebody said, well, my Bible don't say what your does either. And went back and forth and back and forth till he said, hold on here. And so he went into his library, and he come out with two French Bibles, and they read different. We have an enemy to our soul. We have an enemy that's willing to destroy us and lead us astray every waking moment that we have. And sometimes even give you bad dreams. It's important that we realize that Christ realized what we were heading into, and that's why he wanted to teach the gospel of the kingdom out into the world so that the people would know what to look out for, what to believe and what not to believe, and what to do. That's how come he loves you. You know, parents in this room, you know, you tell your children, no, don't run out behind that parked car out there in the street. You're liable to get hit. You tell him the things, don't reach down to get a hold of that rattlesnake. He might bite you. We teach them the best we can so they won't get hurt. And our Lord Jesus Christ taught the best he could so you and I could watch out for the danger that would destroy the soul. That's love. That's the power that comes through our Lord Jesus Christ to those who will yield and listen and recognize that we're constantly dependent upon him. Of ourselves, we can do nothing. Is there anybody in this room can save themselves, or are we dependent on Jesus Christ? The only way we can save ourselves is do what we heard the youngsters sing, and that's to obey. To trust in the Lord and to obey. That's the way. There isn't another way. That's the way that each of us have. And each of us have the God-given right to where we can make decisions of what we're going to do. He's not going to take your right away to make a decision. He's not going to drag us by the hair of the head. He's not going to twist your arm. But he's given us that right to choose who we want to serve and to who we want to live with from all eternity to all eternity. No mix about that. The scriptures is full of it. Just as well as there in all eternity and all eternity in heaven with God the Father and Jesus Christ, there is the same in hell with Satan. Only thing is they're tormented day and night forever and ever. Is there anyone in the sound of my voice want that? To live just half-heartedly in this world? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to reject his teachings? Is it worth to go and do whatever you want to do and say, well, later on, you know, I'll change my ways and one thing and another. And then you start to go to town and somebody runs over the top of you and kills you. And the scripture says that when we go out, that we come back and stand before Christ in the same spirit that we left. What spirit do we want to live if we go out? If he calls us home tonight, what spirit do we want to come and stand before him? Are you ready? Or do we have a work to do for ourselves? Do we have to tell ourselves yes or no? Do we have to do the best we can? Do we have to teach our children? The scripture says we have to teach your children. It says the father, he says that you're to raise up those children in the ways of the Lord. The mothers are to raise up their children in the ways of the Lord so that they would know the gospel of the kingdom. Well, I found out a long time ago, you can't teach something that you don't know. If you don't know 2 and 2 is 4, how are you going to teach it? if you don't know that the apple that's hanging on that tree is really sweet and good, how are you going to tell them, oh, that's sweet and good? Well, did you ever eat one? No, no. How can you sell it? That's why it's important that you and I live a life that will glorify our Father which is in heaven, because the way you live your life and the way I live my life might cause someone to go astray and lose their soul. You might later on find a way to correct it and get it straightened around and repent and put yourself in order, and they may never do that. They may never do that. You know, my brother-in-law, he was an alcoholic. And you know, I went to their meetings with him, to help him and see what I could do with him. And, you know, and they taught all kinds of stuff, and they'd get up and say something. And, you know, that's good. But if you only apply it to your life for a week or two, that doesn't work. That's something that's to be done and given to our life. That's why the scripture says that the Lord doesn't change. So that means that when Peter and James and John were teaching the gospel, when Nephi and those in the Book of Mormon were preaching the gospel, it's the exact same gospel that you and I have to put on and wear if we want to save our soul. There isn't another. There's only that one. And how important it is. I want to read another one. It says, the teachings of the Christian church as originally preached by Jesus Christ and his apostles, a doctrine, principle, or course of action considered to be major. How about that? He says here that it's a statement or information accepted as unquestionably true. Isn't that what the gospel of Christ is? Isn't it unquestionably true? Hasn't he caused it to be preserved for you and I and for our forefathers and for the ones and for the future generation, however long that is? Hasn't he caused those things to be written to preserve us, to preserve not this old house we live in, but the spirit in there that has the right to go live with the God the Father and Jesus Christ? That's what it's about. That's what he wants. He wants to reach that individual that lives inside of this old house that you see. He wants to reach that individual. And he wants to be able to touch them to the point where they know that he is and that he loves them and he has a desire to save their soul. That's what he wants. That's the desire of his heart. To touch us and to bring us to that position that we hunger and thirst after that gospel of the kingdom. We pray constantly for the strength to be able to apply it to our life and to walk in it. That's what is needful. That we're alert and awake. That we have an enemy to our soul. That's against all righteousness. That's what the scripture says. Anything that's righteous, he's against. He says he's the father of lies. How many of you here like to have people lying to you? He's the father of lies. You know, the Bible tells you that he deceives you. It says that Satan can stand before you in the lie of an angel. Well, boy, that'd have a tendency to deceive us, wouldn't it? But the Book of Mormon tells us that he can stand before you nigh unto a lie of an angel. He don't have the heavenly light. And so it's important that we can recognize. That's why he says, try the Spirit. That's why he tells us to look out. That enemy to our soul, he's not without power. He's mighty. He's strong. And you know, you can't hold him out. What do? You shut him out through by Jesus Christ, the Lord, and say, get in behind me. That's where it comes from. That's how it gets started, right there. But you got to have a desire to do that. You got to have a desire to set the world out of your life. That's why the Scripture says, though you live in the world, you're not part of the world, because you don't accept the evil things that come from the world, like you heard Jim preach this morning. You don't accept those things. You recognize that those things that are in that way, they're not sponsored and directed by God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. He taught against it. And those are the things that we have to apply to our life, is the things that He taught us that we had to live to resist those things and to send them in their place. That's what's important. That's how important it is that we have to do that. We have to be awake. We have to do those things. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, and I'm going to bring out some thoughts here to tell you, you know, how important it is, and that he witnesses that many times, that how important it is for him to teach the gospel of the kingdom, because he come to save us. That was the purpose of it. And it tells you here now in Matthew's, he tells you this, in the 14th verse there. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom, this is Jesus talking, red letters, if you have a red letter Bible, okay? He says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. He's going to see to it that's going out to the world where they have a right to choose to follow the Son of God. We got brothers sitting in our crowd here that's going out into the world and proclaiming the gospel, just exactly like Christ says here. They're going out to places where it's dangerous. A place where we constantly pray for them and for their safety. And you know, when I went into Congo with the brick house, you know, they were fighting and killing all over the place. But we were protected. And I'm looking at two brothers back there, and those that went to a place where they bought food and get different things and one day they decided to go to another, and in the meantime they went in and shot up a bunch of people and killed anybody that wasn't Muslim and just tore things all to pieces. Isn't that right, Brian? Who you think directed them to the other place? Who do you think was responsible for that, brothers and sisters? Do you think he was lending an ear to your prayer in their behalf? Did you think that he set his hand upon them because he had a work for them to do? You know, we have to be awake and alert every moment of the day. That's why he said you pray morning, midday, and evening, and in the rest of the time, He's in your heart. He's in your heart. And you know, it'll surprise you what you can do. You know, when I worked at Salt River Power, I worked with Brother Dwayne there, and we welded high-pressure steam and high-pressure water at the dams and all kinds of stuff, you know, and boy, those you had to certify all the time, and when you went in, a lot of those, their tubes are so close that you couldn't get in there. You had to bend your rod and you had to go with a mirror and put it back there and look in the mirror and reach around there and weldeth those things up, didn't you, Dwayne? Yeah. And then they were x-rayed and checked out. And you know, many times I had things on my mind and I was visiting with the Lord and I welded up the tubes. And you know, I didn't be rejected by any. They were good. And I'd be finished before it dawned on me that I had sewed it up tight. He can work with you wherever you're at, whatever job you got, or anything else. I see my grandson sitting there, and others in this room, and I pray for him. Because the job he has isn't a good one. It's a hard one to live. You know, we have to pray one for another. And we have to endeavor to visit one with another of the hope that we have within us. And know that he's a God that we can trust. And know that he hears prayers. And recognize that when you bow down and visit with him with that broken heart and a contrite spirit, he hears. And you know, those of you that are out working and doing different things, I'm sure that you have recognized times when the Lord has set his hand on you and protected you. Yes. I remember Patsy one time talking about she was driving to work and she got in an automobile accident or she missed it and everything, but she didn't know how she could do it. But the Lord was there. You know, he blesses us so much sometimes that we just think, well, you know, that we don't stop and think that we have been blessed by the hand of God. And he's the one that said he'd stay and on us. And how important that is. And so, you know, I want to keep going here. I want to go to Matthew's, the 4th chapter and the 23rd verse. And it says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. That's what you heard from Jim this morning of his love. But he teaches and he blessed them that were there while he was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You know, it must be awful important if Jesus went around in all the synagogues and everywhere and was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It must be awful important, especially when he loves us. And he wanted us to know the way. He didn't want us to be blind. He wanted us to have a spiritual vision that gave our eyes the right to see and to know where our Savior had gone and had walked. That was important. That's important to our life. Oh, you might think, well, yeah, it's important when I get back to it later, but I got other things I want to do. What does it say? It doesn't say fifth. It says seek first the kingdom of God. That's our soul's welfare. That's where it's important. I want to go over to Mark, the first chapter of Mark. And in the first chapter of Mark, I wanted to read the 14th and the 15th verses there in the first chapter of Mark. The 14th and 15th verse. He says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. Change and alter your life where it's opposite of the gospel of Christ. He says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the teachings of the Son of God. Believe that individual that came and laid his life down for us. Believe in that individual that walked and taught and lived for us, and how important that is. And yet in that, there still comes back to the same thing, you know, that word called repentance, where we have a right to repent and tell him, you know, I'm sorry. As I look at that gospel of the kingdom, I realize that I did things that are wrong. And I'm laying hold to your promise that I have a right to approach your holy throne and repent of those things. How wonderful that is. If we didn't have repentance, we wouldn't make it. We have a right to repent and know that he hears, because he loves us. He has a desire that we can come live with him and his Father. That's what it's about. Each one of you. Yeah. McKenna, he wants you to come too. He wants us all to come. He wants us to come, and he wants us to follow that gospel of the kingdom and apply it to our life. And others that was mixing and mingle with us can see that she has something that most people don't. They can see the light. They can see those things. And you know, years ago, I was preaching the gospel, and I was working with a guy, and he was a welder there at Salt River Power, and his son came and was baptized. And when I saw him at work the next day, why, he told us, he says, you know, he says, my son come home, and he had a light about him. That was the Holy Ghost. He says, I never saw that before. I'm talking about Paul Fritz. He lived out there at Cave Creek. That the promises of God are true for every one of us. It's not just good for Mark, and it's not just good for Louise back there, or Andy, or you, Brother Dan. It's for all of us. The promises and his choices for us is for everyone that will listen to his voice and be obedient to his call. And he calls us. And those of us that's been out in the field, and those of you that's been here preaching the gospel, you know, I could preach day and night, day and night, day and night, and it wouldn't do good unless God is there to soften their heart to be receptive to the gospel of Christ. Otherwise, your voice falls on deaf ears. Which tells us we're constantly dependent upon him, wherever we're at. Whatever we're doing, we're dependent upon him. And we know from whence that blessing comes. Because if they least listen, and if they receive that, we know it's because the Lord has touched their hearts. And that they would receive the gospel of Christ, that they would receive that gospel of the kingdom, that they would take it and apply it to their life. I want to go to Mark. I want to go to Mark, the 16th chapter of Mark. And I want you to listen. You know, some people say, well, you know, what's that? What is that all about? You know, why do you do this or why do you do that? I want you to know that teaching that gospel is a commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Myself and the brothers that I see in this audience, think about what you're doing and what you want to do. I'm going to read there in the 16th chapter. I'm going to read, let me see here. I'm going to start in the 15th verse for brevity's sake. And he said unto them, now this is Christ talking. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a chore, isn't it, brothers? You bet. He says, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, they might deny it, and they might turn you down, they might do it, but they're not turning you down, they're turning the Lord down. Because it's His gospel of the kingdom, not mine, unless I apply it to my life, how important it is. He goes on, he says, they shall take, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, that gospel is to be preached in all the nations, all the world, to every creature. It's to go to all the world, the Lord says. Because He wants them to have the same opportunity and the same chance that you and I have. He wants them to have that same opportunity, honey, that we have to apply that gospel of Christ to our life. That's how important it is. And you know, as we ponder upon those things and think upon them, where he says that he does that and he teaches those things and he directs those things, I want to go over in the Book of Mormon. I want to go over in the fourth chapter of Mormon on page 712. And I want you to listen and think. Have you heard it before? I want you to think about that. Have you heard this scriptures? Have you heard those thoughts? Have you heard those things before? Did he teach both nations? Did he teach both nations the same thing? Did he teach what they had to say? And this is in the Mormon, and. He just brings it out. I'm going to read the 85th through the 86 verses. He says, "For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto His disciples." Those are the ones that He called upon this land, brother. Okay? "Which shall tarry." Yea, and that's the three Nephites, isn't it? My goodness. "Yea, also to all His disciples in the hearing of the multitude. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." How important is that? How important is the gospel to you, Susie? It saves your soul. There is no other way that you can save your soul other than through the gospel and the Son of God. There isn't another way. I want to go into Matthew, the 9th chapter, and I want to read the 35th verse. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Would you think that my brother Jim was right when he says that that's love? I can tell you one thing right now. If the Lord walked into this room Do you think that, well, you know, I'm pretty busy, so I don't have time to tell you the way to eternal life or to preach the gospel, but, you know, just, well, you'll be all right. And no. He would tell you to bring your sick forward, and he would preach the gospel of the kingdom to each one of us, so we wouldn't have to guess on it. That's what he'd do. And you would feel the presence of his Holy Spirit. And you would hear his voice, ears or no ears. And you would hear how soft and gentle it is. That's what we hear. And your thoughts wouldn't be someplace else right now. You wouldn't be thinking of other things. And, well, what am I going to do tomorrow? Well, I'm going to go out and have some fun. I'm going to this and that. You want to have some fun? Learn the gospel. Apply it to your life. You'll recognize the presence of that Spirit in your decisions and the things that you do. And where the happiness of life comes, even in this time that we're living in the flesh, you can live with a happiness. You can live with a peace. You know, it's like I've said before, you know, Louise and I, you know, my goodness, we've had more fun accidentally than most people have on purpose. And it's because we believe in the Lord. And we invited him in our house to be the ruler of our house. That's why. I'm going to have to get moving along here. I want to read a little bit more here. I want to go to, I want to go to the 11th chapter of 2 Nephi. And I want to read the 39th verse, and that's on page 142. And he says this, "Yea, behold, I say unto you, that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved." There isn't another. You might love a lot of people. You might mix elbows with a lot of people. You might do a lot of things. But there's one that has the power to save us, and that's the Son of God. That's Jesus Christ, whom he sent. It says, "These things which I teach are not of me, but the Father which sent me." That's the gospel of the kingdom. That's those things that he brought forth for you and I and taught and preserved for us, so that we could know him and know his Father and know what's required of us. He didn't just give us a ladder to climb up into heaven and had no rungs in it so we could step on it. He's given us step by step in the gospel of the kingdom so we could come and live with him, so we could know him and recognize that with him that we can go and follow him and hold his hand. And when we're following the Lord and we're holding his hand, whatever happens, you don't have to be afraid. Why would you have to be afraid if the Lord's holding your hand? You know, I remember years ago, I guess it was 1970, when I was in Yucatan with Brother Don, and they were setting up things to try to kill us, and one thing and another. And every time they set up a deal to kill us, why, the Lord would warn us and we'd go some other way. You know, you'd think that sooner or later they'd get tired of it, but they still went along with it and everything, you know, just away they go, and away they go. And we stopped one day there in Merida, and we went in there, and we were going to get something to eat, and we went into a restaurant, we ordered some food, and they brought the food out and set it on the table, and you know, we were offering prayer over the food, and the Spirit of the Lord told us they're breaking in the car. So we got up and left the food there and ran outside, and sure, and there they were, breaking in the car, and looked up and saw us and run down the street. Well, you know, that's really neat. You know, we took down in that old 65 Ford that I had there, station wagon, we took down boxes of Book of Mormons in Spanish, of Bibles in Spanish, and tracts in Spanish. And we thought, boy, we was in trouble. Because when we hit Brownsville, we knew he was crossing the river the next day, and if they got in there, why, we were in trouble. They'd throw us in prison. So we prayed about it, told the Lord he knew what we were doing, and we depended on him. When we crossed the river and got in there the next day, Dan, there was a bunch of cars there, and they were going through those cars and dumping their suitcases out and everything, going through everything. And, you know, I thought, well, you know, I guess this is going to be it. And so they came, and we had all those boxes of stuff there, you know, and we just had a blanket thrown over it. So when they walked over to us, I just opened up the back of it, you know, and they walked over and looked in there like that, never even lifted a blanket. They said, go on. That's the power of the one that you and I have to hold in our hearts and our minds. That's the power of the individual that you and I have a right to talk to. And they wanted to destroy that. They wanted to destroy those books. They wanted to destroy those things. And you know, I knelt down in Cayetano's place, and I don't know whether there's anybody here that knew Cayetano, but we knelt down in a season of prayer in a little hut over there, and when I knelt down, I was shown a vision, just like looking down right into a TV like that, and I saw him coming and kicking down the door. And when the season of prayer was over, I told Brother Don what I saw, and he says, we best go. They kicked the door in a V-shape, but we weren't there. That's the power that somebody can help you. If you're saying, I'm having trouble, I can't quit smoking, I can't quit this, I can't quit that. How about the Lord? Is He powerless? If you really approach Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, you don't think He has the power to help you? You don't think He has the power to help you overcome and not do the things that He don't want you to do and to help you understand and endeavor to follow after and give you the strength, the vitamins, the strength that's necessary for your spirit to grow in Him? You bet He has. He certainly has. But you've got to depend on Him. You have to believe. You have to believe. And you know, it makes a difference what we do. My wife, when I went over there today, she read on the computer there a deal that Jay put in there, and he put a real good. If you get a chance, go home and read it. And there, if you don't think it makes any difference, there they put up and they said that the people there wanted to be like Brian, like Don and Betty, because they taught the children, they loved the children, they was an excellent example for them, and they praised Him for it. And how true! How true! It's noticed. People know if you're using foul language, you don't think they pick that up in a hurry. If you're doing things you're not supposed to do, you don't think that that, well, you know, I'm only 18, I'm only 19, well, I'm 22, right? You know that the people that you're with, that they don't recognize that? They most certainly do. They recognize it. They recognize how you live your life and how you really love the Lord. And do you love Him enough to apply that gospel of the kingdom to your life? Do we? I hope we do. I'm like the kids when they were singing, you know, don't leave me. Keep working with me. That's what we need to say. And that should be the desire of our heart, that the Lord would continue to work with us and help us to overcome, that we would be able to hear, "Enter ye in, my faithful servant." How beautiful those words would sound in our ears. And you know, I wouldn't care whether I was wearing earplugs or not. We'd be able to hear that and how important it is. I've got more scriptures here, but I think that my time is past, and I'd like to go, but I want to read a scripture that I opened up when I decided that I needed to get in there in my library and start studying, and I opened up the Bible and it fell open, and there it was, and I want to read in Deuteronomy, and I want to read the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy, and I want to read the 12th verse. He says, "And now Israel," and incidentally, those of you that's within this audience that's been baptized, you're Israel. You're adopted heirs in the house of Israel. You're adopted heirs into Abraham. That's who you are. If you've been baptized on this nation, you're adopted heirs into the one whom He has given this nation, which is the seed of Joseph, which holds the birthright of the house of Israel. Do you feel like it? Do you recognize it? That's who we are. You're the house of Israel. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Listen close, brothers and sisters. "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." To serve Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's hard, isn't it? There's a lot of things in the world that's always picking at you and say, "Oh boy, this is fun. Look, come over here. Oh my goodness, yeah." You know, that's hard. But if we get serious enough and pray hard enough, the Lord will help us. He'll help us to overcome the world. Mary, He'll help us do that. He'll do just exactly that because He loves you. You're His child. He created you. He has a desire that you'll live with Him and His Father. That's the desire of His heart. That's the desire of His heart for each one of us in this room, excluding none. That's His desire. I have more scriptures, but I'm going to finish. And I'm going to finish in a scripture that I use all the time. But it's really important. And that's the fourth chapter of Matthew. And that's when the Lord came out of the came out of the mountains and everything after he fasted 40 days and nights, and the devil knew that he was there, and he knew he was hungry. So he said, hey, he says, boy, he says, make these rocks. He says, make them bread. Boy, you have to be hungry. And the Lord answered him. He says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how you live. That's similar to what he said over there in John when he told him there in the sixth chapter of John. He says, you know, you ate manna in there, and you ate this manna and everything. And he says, you know, they're dead. Because it was the food for this physical body and not the individual that lives inside. That's what it was. But the food that feeds us, the individual that lives inside of this house, comes from God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. If we're going to be able to endure to the end. And that's what Christ said there in the sixth chapter of St. John. He says, but He says that the manna that I give you, where I come down out of heaven, He says you will live forever. It was the spiritual manna. It was that spiritual spark that kept us going. You know, I was thinking about my son back there. I was thinking about Isaac, you know, and I was thinking about he's so busy all the time. And I was thinking about him, you know, and I thought about what he does. He repairs things. So does Christ. Christ repairs you and I if we'll allow it. If we went into a vehicle and we went to start it and it coughed and snorted and wouldn't turn over and everything, and the generator was out, or I should say probably now the alternator was gone, you'd have to recharge it so it would turn over and start. You and I need the recharging day by day so that our spiritual motor will turn over and start. So our spiritual motor would recognize from whence that power came, and that you would have the power to endure to the end and the same be saved. How important that is. Isn't it? You bet. And so as I come, I have much more that I would like to speak, but I know that it's time for me to stop. But someday I'll finish it. But I just want you to know that God loves you so much that He preaches the gospel of the kingdom to you. Brothers and sisters, He does it through your servants. I'm not your Lord. I'm your servant. And I'm to teach that gospel of the kingdom. And you've got brothers here that goes all over the world to teach that gospel to the kingdom so that they could know and so they would be able to understand and that they would be our brothers and sisters in the Church of Christ, in the Bride of Christ, that He's going to return to His wife. Not wives, but wife. And it says that she had made herself ready. And I have to ask myself, have I made myself ready? Have you made yourself ready? Are we ready to meet Him? Are we ready to feel His embrace? To bow before Him and kiss His feet? Are we ready? Only You know. But my prayers are for You. And I hope that Your prayers is for me. And that we would lay hold to every word that would proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen.